So today, we're moving on to partly consider the essays again, partly give you some other indications in terms of ways to approach that. And then I wanted to introduce you to another intertextual element of science fiction, which is primarily science fiction and comedy. Because we could all do with a laugh, really. But just as I've talked about science fiction being an umbrella genre before, a genre which is very much, probably more so than any other of the generic forms that Steve Neal in his lovely text genre would have referred to, could be seen as being most appropriate for the concept of genre hybridization. You can have a Western with cowboys and introduce aliens, and you get cowboys and aliens, but that's a science fiction Western. You can have a hard-boiled detective notion, such as the remake or the world of Blade Runner, and it's seen very much as a text which becomes a science fiction detective story. And you can also have a science fiction comedy, which, again, if you wish to look at the essay, which is Science Fiction and Intertextuality, is another angle to actually take. And what I'm going to spend a little bit of time today doing is talking through some of the ways in which you can consider how the two apparently disparate forms tend to operate, both science fiction and comedy, and provide you with some useful examples, hopefully. And then we'll have a little discussion about how that relates to what some might say actually is at the heart of science fiction, because there is a notion that you shouldn't really take it seriously, that it should be fun, that it's a thought experiment, that actually this notion of agonising over dystopian worlds, agonising over challenges within that whole field, all sort of impact on the sort of areas within that whole solar system. I mean, we've already looked at how, certainly, if you're looking at the superhero motion picture, that, in essence, is primarily focused on having fun. Sort of it's the entertainment, it's the leap of faith when we looked at Indiana Jones and how that sort of operates. Horror, fairly self-explanatory in terms of how that sort of replicates itself. But even that, the notion of horror and comedy have an awful lot of aspects which are in distinct commonality and so on. So, to demonstrate, let's actually talk our way through some of the key things within this. And pull up the line which, for the opening lecture at least, refers quite directly to comedy and intertextuality with reference to two of the sort of major genres which also interlink together, science fiction and horror. Okay? And how do these things work? Now, this is not going to necessarily sort of prove to completely destroy your faith in comedy or how comedy works, or indeed intertextuality. But it hopefully might give you one or two thoughts and aspects that you might find useful to open up and develop as well. So let's start off, as you should start off with every essay really, and every sort of analysis, by attempting to define your terms, defining the sort of notions of what do we mean by this comedy. It goes all the way back to the ancient Greeks and the whole notion of comedy and tragedy. The old phrase that's frequently used, life is a comedy to those who think, a tragedy to those who feel. That whole essence, which is really very much a drama, it's how sort of scripts and narrative works when you put your plots together between the positives, between the negatives, how things operate, etc. Well, actually, let's take a very basic description of comedy, and it can literally be anything that's intended to amuse. So the intention is something which, in essence, is or can be funny. But then, comedy can often be seen by the eye of the beholder. What one particular culture might find hilarious, people slipping on a banana skin, for instance, can, by somebody else, be seen as a deep tragedy on the human condition. And that's, again, something that very much relates to science fiction because it is, or can be, a genre in which leaps of faith become the norm, that we're expected to appreciate that people can have superhero true identities, that travel to Mars is possible, that actually reworking our texts and actually developing them for different sort of aspects of life in our culture is all part and parcel of the whole sort of sequence. I mean, tomorrow, Ex Machina is the text that we're sort of looking at in terms of the film, etc., which you may or may come along to. Those latecomers here, you can actually talk to your colleagues about how I was somewhat miffed about an attendance of two. One of them was actually in this group now, but that's good. It was earlier, actually here last week. And I said, I don't mind not, but just let me know if you can't come on for that. I don't find it funny. Sorry, I did that. Intended to amuse. Expanding it. It can be a play or a movie in which you have clear characters who might be the victims, the straight men, the straight women, people who actually are. It's an interesting line that a number of people think they can tell a joke effectively. How is it delivered? Again, we'll look towards that whole sort of system. Or, in terms of the whole notion of comedy and science fiction, it can be a dramatic work in which the central motif is the triumph over adverse circumstances, resulting in a successful, a happy conclusion. The team from Jumanji managed to get to the end of the experience. They managed to succeed in that. The tribbles are put to bed in the Starship Enterprise. The whole aspect of Red Dwarf reaches its climax, and Smegheads around the world can unite in joyous happiness, etc., etc. Again, we can identify with some of the characters, even though they're often caricatures, or in the case of Pigs in Space, puppets, and all sorts of other aspects that relate to the whole essence of what comedy is about, how it connects as well. And it can also go on to be specifically, as I said, the opposite of tragedy. Comedy and tragedy, two sides of the same coin. Branch of drama which concerns itself primarily with that form of composition, how comedic developments of texts are actually put together. So life is a tragedy to those who think, comedy to those who feel, vice versa. But it's how those things are developed. It's a bit amusing. I mean, some people can actually find Spinoza's ethics hilarious. Other people, actually, it's a deep-rooted area of working through the analysis of how this is working. Having that sense of humour is often regarded, certainly, in terms of one of the key aspects of which you can add. We can indeed look at the sort of high technological world of specifically using our internet system to eventually open up things. Let's try this. Alexa? Tell me a joke, Alexa. What did the frog say when he went to the library? Reddit. I could carry you with that forever. You could use Alexa or Cortina. And again, it's a whole notion of it's a line, it's a joke, and so on. In other words, it's any literary composition dealing with a theme that's suitable for comedy or employing methods of comedy. It's how we're sort of breaking that down. Yeah, I promise you won't go away with a sense of humour bypass after this session, but it'll hopefully make you sort of think a little bit how comedy sort of operates within that field as well. And finally, literally, it can be the proverbial series of unfortunate instances, a series of unfortunate events, and so on, that all sort of aspect relates to things which might be humorous, and so on. You have a number of different lines. Arguably, the first science fiction comedy could be seen as Jonathan Swift's Gulliver's Travels, because it was a satirical comment on society. We looked at Star Trek, we looked at other texts which clearly actually reflect on society's comments through the satirical lens, seeing how comments can actually be made with respect to a particular eye. When it comes to horror, certainly the spoof is at the heart of this, because when you've seen Blair Witch Project and then you go and see Scary Movie, you can see that one's meant to obviously be amusing, the other one's meant to be scary, and so on and so forth. You've got different approaches taken to them. Abbott and Costello Meet the Invisible Man is completely different from The Invisible Man. And so is The Simpsons Treehouse of Terror for the annual Halloween celebrations. They're looking at, again, spoofing certain long-held tenets and belief within those. And it's also a pastiche. So you're seeing a collection of different aspects, different elements being put together in the screening we're going to put together today, whilst you're here, physically held down. It refers to basically one which very much relates to an homage to Star Trek. It's not Star Trek, but it's an homage to Star Trek, particularly the Next Generation. Although, interestingly enough, people actually said it's the Star Trek that Discovery should be. But when you actually are using things like franchises or using comedians within that, and I suppose some of the horror base from the Carry On world, Carry On Screaming, was one of the classic sort of aspects of the 1960s, which very much spoofed the Hammer horror era of how things were being developed. You've got all sorts of aspects within that. For zombie lovers, what's not to appreciate about the LP scene in Shaun of the Dead, and Paul as well, all of which are kind of using classic narrative tropes in a loving homage to the actual thing that they're spoofing. Primarily, if you look at Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, the approach that they actually take does have elements that relate to it's not a serious indictment of the text. It's basically sort of having a laugh along with it. As I say, that intrinsic preposterousness of science fiction is one of the reasons, arguably, cosplay is such an important phenomenon in terms of people taking on persona and creative and so on and so forth. Douglas Adams, clearly at the forefront of this. He had a mixed time, I think, in terms of Doctor Who scholars who maintained that his period of time as script editor for Doctor Who was borderline, from the point of view, wonderful, and why wasn't The Cricket Men ever made? It has been made recently, or why was City of Death sort of such a classic thing? And of course his own view in terms of trying to come up with a series originally for radio, based on his experiences of The Hitchhiker's Guide to Europe, and maintaining that one day, whilst lying in a field somewhere in France, he looked up at the sky and said, why can't we have A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? And that whole notion of the intrinsic notion of deep thought, the computer to be all computers, that thinks for years and millennia and millennia, finally comes up with the key answer to life, the universe, everything, 42, where do we go to with respect to that? So long and thanks for all the fish, perhaps. But again, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Marvin the Paranoid Android, I ache, therefore I am. Brain the size of the planet. Here he is, sitting in, etc., etc., the car parking attendant. All of these things are working through that. And for those people who actually want to have a documentary about what it's like to actually be at a science fiction convention if you've never experienced it, well, I still say Galaxy Quest is pretty much unbeatable in terms of that, by the power of Grab Thor's hammer. So all of those kind of things work together in terms of the sort of element of comedy relating to both horror and science fiction. So let's consider the next stage. Oh, that's not. Sorry, I always forget about Red Dwarf, so I'll leave it there to one side. Any Red Dwarf people here? Oh, that's good. Why Red Dwarf is supposed to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Joker? Oh, do you want to know? Right, yeah. I'm a
Galaxy Quest
So, Greg Thor's hammer. Got the reference. Okay, I won't go into Robert Crumb, but if you want to have a look at the website, Robert Crumb very much did a lot of spoof aspects for Mad Magazine, and certainly is responsible for a large number of science fiction aspects within that whole field. Very much in the other aspect of comedy, which is well worth considering, which is the subversive nature of comedy. That actually when you start laughing at and laughing with, suddenly you think actually you break through a different barrier. You tend to identify more positively, more warmly. You know, we like our comedians. Make them laugh, as they say in that interesting musical, Singing in the Rain. Is it science fiction? Is Singing in the Rain science fiction? Well, that has a fantasy sequence, as I was thinking. I think that might be stretching, perhaps just a tad, if you decide to walk through that. So, that gives us hopefully some indication of what comedy is. But as the title of this session was Comedy and Intertextuality, and that relates to the essay with respect to science fiction and intertextuality, and you can bring in this phrase and this theoretical aspect quite clearly as well, it's worthwhile considering that whole notion of what we mean by this. Well, put quite literally, it's a network. It's a network of things that we see emerging in other texts. In the old days of trains, they used to be intercity. International connects different nations. Intertexts, literally connecting different texts. And it shows the relationship between those texts. So if you see or if you hear wonderful orchestral music accompanied by soaring spaceships, accompanied by different other elements that you come to recognise in one particular field, you can start joining them together. If you look back at the notion of screen, which was often regarded by Wes Craven and scholars as the first true postmodern horror movie, Scream is littered with intertextual references to movies like Nightmare on Elm Street. We see shots of the Robert Englund character, Freddy, as they're wearing all the same door jumper in the hallway sequence. We see self-referential aspects. Buffy the Vampire Slayer does the whole thing. Joss Whedon arguably makes a great play of intertextuality. And not just that, but if you look at the Russo brothers and what they did with the time-travelling episode of the epic Avengers saga, it's littered with references to Back to the Future, to time travel, to Star Trek, to so on and so forth. You've got all sorts of things there, sometimes verbal, sometimes visual, but it's all showing the way in which that relationship works. Primarily, and again, it's part of the fun thing. Part of the reason we, as the audiences within films, can appreciate it if we've already come to it with a certain knowledge and awareness, is you can get those references. You don't have to necessarily spot them and tick them off, but there are lots of ways that they're actually there. DVD sort of like Easter eggs and various other elements, which often uses that side of things as well. So, consider comedy. Secret of comedy? Consider horror. Secret of horror? Same thing. Whether you're jumping out of your seat because you're startled, because you're caught by surprise, or whether you're actually, you know, the reason comedy one-liners, like the Reddit one, are considered one-liners is because they're looking for gags. They're looking for that gag reflex, that notion of where you're going, how things are working through that. You've got verbal comedy, you've got visual comedy, you've got a combination of two. People normally have a particular preference for one particular style or the other, but again, it's really up to the individual. Hence, as I said, the line comedy can be in the eye of the beholder is fairly critical in terms of where we're going through from that. Whether it's a punchline, whether it's a gag line, all of those things interlink, interface, and so on. And again, the Scary Movie franchise is one element. But then, if we actually move on to Seth MacFarlane, known to sort of filmmakers across the world, there's been somebody who's fascinated with a whole range of things. He was very committed to the Star Trek franchise. He was part of the Star Trek franchise, but he loved Star Trek. And so we come on to the whole notion of the Orville. Has anybody ever seen the Orville? Nobody's seen the Orville.
You've seen one episode.
You've seen one episode. Okay. Well, the Orville is available, I think, on certainly available for both seasons on Amazon, in some way, shape, or form. You can get it on Amazon Prime, or you can download and purchase them. But then it's very much an homage to Star Trek, but it's Star Trek with big laughs. Star Trek, which actually opens up a whole range of things. It plays in a serious manner with the characters that we would come to know as certainly next generation crew, certainly the notion of a kind of a captain who is a sort of synthesis of both Picard and Kirk for fashion. You've got a medical officer, you've got alien life forms, but you're also playing around with this innate preposterousness of science fiction and how things are actually operating within that whole field. And I'm going to actually, so I'm familiar with the whole thing, I want to actually move to the whole system, with that, to the last thing that's actually there, which is an expectation that comedy often works with the assumption that the audience has a familiarity with the text that's being set up. Now, everybody in this room has hopefully got familiarity with Star Trek, even if it's just been the one episode you've seen in this particular area from that point of view. You've possibly got a vague familiarity with various other sort of aspects. And, in particular, you've also got a clear familiarity with space fiction and space opera. So, allowing for those two areas, we're going to look through this particular aspect from the aspect of, is it comedic? Does it actually work? Does it address the whole notion of what it's about? Or is it actually a serious sort of line? You know, the opening episode, first sort of pilot in the series, is entitled Old Wounds. And you have the soaring sort of musical routines. And yet, is it a satire? Is it a spoof? Is it an homage? Is it simply a case of its intellectual craziness gone insane? Those are the things to consider as we spend the next few moments just actually having a look at the first example of the Orville and Old Wounds.